There's no throne. There is no version of this where you come out on top.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
Superhero brother, and it's time to get down. I'll be hidden in the shadow undercover at night. I'm a battle cross my ups and do it tight. I'm your symbol of freedom, your symbol of hope, your symbol of justice for those who don't know. I'm the arms of the world, trying to true. And if you wanna step well, baby, I'm coming after you.
Yeah, welcome to From the Helicarrier, your number one news source from Marvel Avengers Alliance. I don't know about you, but I think the Hulk blew out my eardrums there. That was a little loud. Like, oh!
You think?
That was not intentional. It just kind of came out that way. Yes. We're trying to give you a 3D real vision of what it'd be like if you stood next to the Hulk.
Hulk so, angry!
I am Epic Boss McFall, and I declare today PvP free show. Unless, of course, it comes up in natural conversation because it's the only content going on. So there's that lovely Golden Age voice, Golden Age Ibbit.
Yes. Hello. Good to be here. Welcome to another week of nothing really new content-wise. Well, a little bit. A little tiny bit. We'll talk about that in a second.
And then, of course, as per usual, and we weren't really sure today, Soapbox Klotz, we thought might be buried under the blizzard, but he just pulled a soapbox out and ranted against why it shouldn't be snowing right now. There's a 20% chance of snow. It shouldn't really be that high. So the blizzard missed him, and it worked. I'll give you, man, it worked.
Yes, that is exactly what I did. I went out and shouted at the sky for 10 minutes or so.
20% is too high for a snow chance. Go away.
And then it did. So, you know, because I was right. I mean, the blizzard acknowledged that I was right.
Well played, sir. Well played. Now, not to call anything out, but there was an email that did not make it. We're going to talk about stuff here in the headlines. But before we hit the headlines, really quick, there was an email that didn't make it onto the show. I'd like to ask you guys to summarize, why is Evergreen a joke with us and Klotz?
I'm letting Paul answer this one.
Oh, that's because I made the grievous error, the error that I will take to my podcasting grave, of assuming that when they put Aries on sale the second time in a row in like a 2-week period, that he was now Evergreen. And I said that
he was
Evergreen.
In other words, on sale permanently.
Yes.
Right. Yes. On sale permanently. Evergreen being the industry term for that kind of thing when something becomes available permanently, or permateal, right, as it's become.
And it has toned down. You know, we giggle a little bit about it with Chuckle, and the trolling has raised this bar because I think it was Nikolai who found the Arrow, the DC show Arrow on the WB, actually trolled you a little bit with that, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, because, you know, there happens to be a shipping container company called Evergreen.
Yeah, it was just a great moment. I think it's, dude, you should be proud of how high you've raised. Oh, yeah, no.
Well, that's like when I was cleaning off the shelf next to my desk, and it had some books on it, and I'm going through them, and in the middle of them is this giant hardcover book, and I look at it, and it's called Evergreen. Yeah. And I'm like, what the heck? And I'm like, all right, fine, this book stays, like these other ones go, but this one stays. Yeah. So I, you know, it's one of those things where once it becomes a thing, you start seeing it everywhere, and I have. It's literally everywhere. And Christmas was rough, what can I say?
I can imagine it was. So with my preemptive, we're supposed to do the headlines first, yet I talk about something else. Segment done. Now onto the headlines.
Right. It's always the show notes and whatever else Charles throws in.
So I didn't want to forget. You know, I forget things.
I appreciate that. All right, let's talk about the headlines. First off, there's magic in the air. Finally, after teasing us with this for over a year, maybe even longer than that, Playdom finally releases the Magic Alt. And it's All right. It's something else she can wear. We'll leave it at that. Spec Ops, according to tweets, are coming soon. We'll talk a little bit about that. New newsletter and page features for the helicarrier.com, the helicarrier.com, your one-stop shop for everything MAA. A Fantastic Four new trailer, as well as Fox announcing that they have plans, just plans, some ideas about a live-action X-Men TV show. King's page, Kingfisher's page on the news site. We'll talk about that. An article was leaked about potentially Angela joining the MAA team. Angela, who actually got her start back in the Spawn days and became a Marvel character after all that.
Sorry, I didn't realize that. Go ahead. We'll talk about that when we get there. Sorry.
Okay. And open call for articles and content submissions. As always, we love to hear from you. Paul, tell us about any current sales that are going on.
There's, you know, much like the PvE content, there's not much new. The Flaming Post is available currently for 64 gold, and Sandboxes just went on sale today for Sandman, if you do not possess him. One of the better lockbox characters that have come about in the last year or so. Definitely worth considering if you got halfway there or anything like that. Good. I mean, he's solid. Like, I don't play with him in PvP or anything like that, but I do occasionally use him in PvE when he qualifies for, like, a daily mission or something like that. Yeah. And he pounds face with, like, no, you know, I don't put EISO on him or AISO, really. He just pounds face default. He's just like, yeah, I'm just going to smash all these trash mobs.
And yeah, he hits pretty hard.
I'm just going to punch this boss real hard. So, Sandman's great. So pick him up if you missed him.
You know, he brings a... I'm not being, like, making a pun. It just pops in my head, though. He does bring a whole new term, meaning to the term pounding sand. Because, you know, that's supposed to go waste your time or whatever. But, man, he I really liked it. I agree with Klotz fully. He's a great lockbox character. Not great for PvP, but definitely a lot of fun for PvE if you can get him in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that they brought the Flaming Post back.
It is such the great little meta joke for this game, right?
Because that came out in response directly to something. I don't think it was Deadpool Gate, but it was definitely something that happened with Playdom, and they were just getting flamed. And guess what? A new weapon showed up.
Oh, I thought it was just the you know, just general trolling on the forums, on the Playdom forums.
It could have been. I thought it was a response to something specific, but I don't know. What do I know? I do everything out of order anyway.
It's one of those things that was probably already, like, in the, you know, the pipeline, and then they're like, all right, now. You know what? You're gonna give us hell. Now is the time.
Right.
Which, you know, considering the last couple of shows, I'm surprised we haven't gotten some amazing new item to laugh at the community, particularly us, because we've been ranting a little lately.
Shank.
Yeah, I'm still looking for a weapon similar to that, just the FTH green stick. You know, that'd be awesome. Because we beat you with a green stick, all that stuff. I mean, it all plays in.
Right.
So,
hey, I'm waiting for my version of the Chitter Chatter box, which is a soapbox. And it just slides out, and your agent hops up on it for a second and then does an effect.
That needs to be added to a new alt for Molly. So when she will pull it out and stand up and actually punch somebody in the face instead of the crotch.
Awesome. I thought that was Karnak's job.
He does it too. They've really gone for the low blows here lately.
They really have. A lot of hitting below the belt going on.
Now, here's the crazy part about it. I don't even notice that because sometimes the graphics are glitchy. You don't always see everything. And all these dudes are like, oh, look, they're getting punched in the crotch all the time. Like, why is that what you notice about everything that goes on? But, you know, it is funny.
When a dude gets pounded in the crotch, you know, you take note. You know, you feel for him just a little bit.
Take note. Okay, let's go to the shout-outs. Agent O'Cynico finally has made it. If you're watching, if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, there is a slideshow going through right there on the site. It'll also be with the podcast later. And part of that slideshow is O'Cynico's screenshot of making 300. So congratulations, sir. We appreciate you sharing that information with us. So let's dive deeper into some of these headlines. So the covert alt for Here we go. The covert alt for Magic's Ops. Let's just, own it. Just own it.
Covert task Magic Mastery, which started on the 22nd and is going to go until Valentine's Day, apparently February 14th. It's a few really easy steps, basically just using magic and her different attacks for different actions. Then it turns into the collect quest. And here's a new twist on the collect quest where
you can't do it.
Used to be, what's that?
You can't do it, right?
You can't do it. Well, I mean, here's the deal. You're guaranteed, if you do the daily mission, to get one of these lockets every day.
Right.
And that's the only locket, without spending any gold, without buying them, that's the only locket you're going to get. You can't get it by hitting a boss really hard.
Right.
You can't get it as you hope for a drop. You can't get it in a deploy. The only way you're going to get these is by completing the daily mission. And since you need 15 of these, you've got to do 15, a minimum of 15 daily missions between now and, I guess it'd be a maximum too, right? A minimum and a maximum of 15 daily missions completed between now and the middle of February. So there you go. The costume, the alt you can get, basically you get the option to buy the alt for 60 command points once you complete all these tasks. And it is the New Mutants version of Magic, where she's still got her soul sword, but she's in her original New Mutants costume. Just basically the black and yellow, the Kitty Pryde style costume. As far as her changes, they've changed her actions a little bit so that instead of all of them, let's see, it was one that would produce soul fire. I'm trying to remember what the unit was that she would spend charges, whatever the charges were.
Soul charge.
It was soul charge. Okay.
Yeah, soul charge.
So instead of one of her soul sword generating soul charges and the other three using them, now two of them generate soul charges and two of them expend those soul charges. So stepping disc and soul sword, basically that's the big change right there, is stepping disc now generates a soul charge instead of consuming it.
Well, I thought the 100% attempt to make everybody dodge, and I might get that percentage wrong, honestly, I'm not goofing off here, but I thought it was 100% attempt for everybody to dodge. Like she transports everybody.
Oh, yeah. The stepping disc passive, right, has a chance to teleport all allies. Okay. A chance evading incoming area attacks. I'm just saying that as far as her action changes, that was not something part of the alt. That was
just
a change
overall.
To the okay. Right. Exactly. She can also avoid catastrophic attacks. Ruler of Limbo. It's another passive, and it gives her a chance when she's attacking or attacked to summon those little flying eyeball, the eye bites, things that that come out of her unleash hell, usually.
Come out of her what?
They come out of her unleash hell.
Oh, okay. Just sure. Now, here's what's interesting about these alts is I did what Ibbot's talking about. I went to the actions to see, and maybe I just don't pay enough attention. It's hard for me to flip back from one uniform to the other, and I did not personally see notes on this one this time, but I don't know, I just had a feeling that they would change the actions, and they did a little bit. It just wasn't obvious. I'm glad you filled us in,
and I'm
on
being
that.
Corrected actually that okay. That was a change that apparently they made a while back. I just didn't notice it until
I didn't either
until this release, so thank you chat room for clearing that up. Boy, usually I wait until an hour in the show before I start spouting garbage, but I'm gonna go ahead and take care of that right away.
You have clearly got egg on your face.
I do, yes. Oh no. So apparently that change has been in place for quite a while.
So speaking of farming through the daily mission, which is actually not even farming, it's literally just playing it once a day to get your soul pocket watch that they stole from Doctor Who. How do you guys like the updates to it? We're no longer playing the same six or seven missions with the same bosses. They're actually changing up the teams, and they're mm-hmm. changing up who we're playing against.
Right, and they're not sticking to an identical order for the prizes either, because
right.
We should have gotten AISOs. Mid last week that we had our last AISO.
Sounds right.
Yeah, but
so
we
I
did
thought
get,
today was like EISO day, and then it's not. It's
yesterday Tuesday. Yesterday was EISO day.
Oh, I didn't even get to play that much yesterday.
Oh yeah, I basically just kept farming and farming and farming, and it's really funny because aside from maybe a couple times of getting the whatever the middle finger prize was, I was getting decent EISOs on every run through. Then once I hit 5 stars and got my 5 CP, every run through after that gave me the middle finger prize. I didn't get any EISOs. Wow. I don't know if that's really
a weighted thing.
Or if it just was the random way it came up, because I can't imagine what their benefit would be to have people stop. You know, it's people are, and if they're low on energy, they're going to spend some gold potentially to get some energy to keep running and getting those EISOs. But anyway.
Well,
yesterday was.
If there is a change in the drop rates after you 5-starred, mm-hmm. It is likely an anti-farming measure, you know, to be like, all right, well, you're going to run through a few times to get 5 stars. And so you're going to get 6 or 7 or whatever it is rolls. And then after that, we're just going to make it real tough for you to get more. Cause clearly, I mean, the other philosophy is that a lot of the ones that you get, cause you don't always get the character ones. Mm-hmm. You usually get ones that you would normally buy with CP or gold. So, you know, the logic there is that they're kind of giving some stuff away for free. I don't know if that's the case. I've thought that as well, though, because there's been times before where I 5-starred and then all of a sudden just couldn't get a thing. And then there were other times where I had no problems with it, where I 5-starred and I tried a few more times and I got more EISO. So I don't know if I was just exceptionally lucky those times or if it's a thing.
It might be. If that turns out to be the case, then we're going to have a new type of sandbagging where basically you complete the daily mission but make sure that 2 of your characters die in the process so you get the least amount of movement. Yeah.
Now, there's precedent for the first part, anyway, of the weight changing. We know they released back in the Egyptian days when I miss that boss. I forget the
MODOK?
Character's name.
No. MODOK, the CP pinata?
The pharaoh.
Oh, the living pharaoh.
The living pharaoh, that's his name. Yeah. And he transformed into the megalith or whatever it is.
I was going to say monolith. Was that right?
Monorail.
The living monolith.
So glad we're being very factual today.
The living monolith.
I've built my whole reputation on the show as not knowing the actual details. Yes. But I can paint you a picture, and it's pretty, and you'll put it on your refrigerator.
That is quite true.
So, but back in those days, they actually released, here was the weighted rotation, because it wasn't canopic jars you collected, but I'm just going to use that as an example. So you had to collect canopic jars. That was the ones you wanted. And the weighting of that was like a 15%, except after you beat the run through one time or after you completed some action, which had to do with running through it or beating the spec ops, whatever it was, mm-hmm. then the actual weighted rotation changed to be slightly better. And I don't know if they've done that forever, but I remember that specifically during that point in time, they released, here's what our weighted rotation is, and here's how it will change after a certain amount of time. So there is a precedent for it. That doesn't mean they're doing it that way.
Right. I wasn't aware of that, so that's interesting.
And you know, I get just enough facts in there for whoever's going to fact check me will actually know where to look to verify and correct me. And that's all. And I'm all for that. You know, correct me, verify me, all that. Now, today's mission, usually we don't talk about specific dailies because they're, for lack of better words, I'm not trolling you, but they're not evergreen. We try to keep the content something you can go back and listen to and be, you know, permateal. But today's mission is Loki, and I wasn't paying that much attention to it, of course, just like everybody else in the world. It's Asgardian, so what do you run? You run the Heroes 3, at least the first time, right?
Right.
And I'm running the Heroes 3, and I'm kind of doing other stuff. I was recording my show today, and I'm just playing. And I did not mentally collect the fact that I'm actually clicking on a new mission. Because every battle's the same. I swear to God, I thought there's a glitch, or I'm fighting some 10-round one mission. I was like, what is going on?
No, it's Loki and 2 Dark Elves, and then you're going to fight Loki and 2 Dark Elves. Oh, and then when that one's done, hey, how about this? You're going to fight Loki and 2 Dark Elves.
But I did. I thought we had
how about Loki and 4 Dark Elves?
I thought we had a Dracula thing on where, you know, he had to escape, but he couldn't escape. You bug. You couldn't get out of that battle at first. I did. I was like, I have to actually play this one through again, even though it's like Chocolate Bunny Day or whatever. Right. I have to play this one through again to pay attention to see how it really plays out. And the reality was I was clicking on new missions without registering. I was clicking on new missions. But yeah, they all ran together. I thought I played 10 rounds in one battle. I was like, I kind of like that change. That's kind of interesting. Let's play 15 rounds and see what happens next. But that's not the case.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it begs the question, like, what's the deal with this daily mission? Because it is just two Dark Elves and Loki every time.
Right.
It's like you could throw a few Jotun in, or, like, I don't know, a different villain for a little bit.
Something just to kind of mix it up a little bit, sure. Nah, you know, it's something different, but...
What about the Enchantress or the Enchantress Mini-Me dude that I can't remember his damn name now, the bald guy that everybody's going to yell at me that I don't have his name?
With the hammer dude? Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, there's a couple of... When you're doing Asgardian, there's all kind of Asgardians to throw in here, you know, as far as heroes villains.
I guess that's what I was kind of getting at, is it's like, you know, it's Asgardians, and that opens up a lot of stuff that doesn't always fit in the rest of the Marvel Universe, you know, like fighting the Jotun Ice Giants with, you know, like non-Asgardians is just
executioner.
Weird.
That's Executioner, there you go.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, I don't know. It just seems weird to me that... It's just kind of like, oh, here you go. Here is the most basic daily mission possible.
But what I did like about it is they changed it up. They haven't done this before. So that's
true. Yeah. That's, I mean,
plus. Yeah. You're in that direction. apparently, this article that we're going to about Angela, or Angela, however you think you should say, because you know I'm going to say it wrong. Even if I say it right, I'm saying it wrong. I know that is.
Pretty sure it's Angela, but yeah.
she's so actually been teased to come, and I cannot get this article to open up for me.
Does she with a Tony Danza costume for your agent?
then you have to pronounce it Angela.
Yes. Nice. Angela.
I'm the boss.
You can see who's been bored under the snow.
I'm the group boss. Who's the group boss?
So now all the people who do artwork are going to be doing artwork for our show right now to do a Tony Danza Who's the Boss mashup with the Hogan. I'm seeing Hogan right in front of me, but with Angela coming, all the other stuff. You know what? I can't get this article to open up anymore. So we're just have to kind of sum
That's
it
right.
up.
Yeah, I mean, it was very cryptic and vague intentionally, just because, you know, that's the way they kind of keep things close to the vest. Sure. I think that they've probably gotten bitten in the butt before with something that they've teased about that didn't come to fruition, keeping your junk items. This is the way that it was phrased was basically Odin's little secret. Which does tend to say, okay, that's Angela because she's his secret daughter, right? And then there was also, that is the drag that I don't have that part of the article in front of me, where the interviewer said, here are my five predictions about the unworthy. And
that's the part that bothered me, because they said they confirmed that his predictions were correct, which they wouldn't do.
He confirmed that one of the five was correct. So in Mastermind, basically he said, if we were playing Mastermind, you'd get one white peg. And in the game Mastermind, when you put out your guess of your little colored pegs, if you get one right, then you get a white peg.
Okay.
I think it's a black peg if it's right location, right answer. I can't remember any of that
stuff. Best written thing, but I did that did kind of red flag. No. I thought he said they confirmed all of it. Like, wait a minute, they're not going to confirm that, and I already know some of those are wrong. So that's not. When I first met Angela, it was through the Guardians of the Galaxy, and she came through a rip in the universe, and it was really cool. I actually hadn't gotten far enough to know that she was the secret daughter of Thor.
You met her,
and she also. I know.
Like, did you?
Did this happen in a dream?
Do
you have an Oculus Rift that I don't know about, like, or something like Google Glass? I don't know. I'm just wondering.
That would be kind of interesting, reading the comics on Google Glass through an app. That'd be fun. No, jackasses. We get introduced to characters. It's just fine.
Right. And she also came from Spawn originally. She was a Todd McFarlane.
See, I didn't know that. Fill us in on that.
Well, it's I was collecting Spawn back then. However, I don't remember a whole lot of it.
I believe, but what it was.
I think I even had the action figure. I remember that there was. Here's what I remember about the character, and this is the hilarious thing, because this was also back when I was collecting action figures like crazy, right? And I was getting the Spawn action figures. I was getting the Marvel stuff, and there was a while that there was a rare version of the Angela action figure that had a miss painting job where she didn't have underwear basically. And if you found one of those action figures, then you were supposed to snatch it up because it would be bad choice of words. You were supposed to pick it up really quickly because it'd be, you know, something you could sell on eBay really, really for a lot of money. And
or you just take it home for those lonely nights, I guess. I don't know.
Or you just take it home, exactly. I didn't say she was anatomically correct. I just said that she was painted to not be wearing any underwear.
Oh, wow. So I believe it's the clairvoyant here actually found a screenshot of the predictions. It says, regarding the worthy, Cheryl did confirm that one of our predictions is correct. And for those who didn't see it, here's our prediction. So that's bad reading on my part. It does clarify one. Here are the predictions. Storm, Breaker of Oceans, Spider, which that sounds stupid. I'm sorry. It just sounds like part Breaker of Oceans.
Spider-Woman. Breaking your oceans.
Yeah. Spider-Woman, Breaker of Will. Red Hulk, Breaker of Stone. Ghost Rider, Breaker of Souls. And Valkyrie, Breaker of Faith. Now, the three out of the five actually sound decent. Spider-Woman, although not the character, but Breaker of Will follows suit with Breaker of Men, and Null is Breaker of Worlds.
Right.
Breaker of Will. Then Ghost Rider, Breaker of Souls, I think would work. And Valkyrie I don't know if Valkyrie Breaker of Faith really fits, but Breaker of Oceans is not going to work.
No. I think everybody's current thought is that the Spider-Woman is correct, which would be right in line with the current thinking.
Yeah, it just kind of fits the theme. And everybody is saying a Spider-Woman is the correct one. the clairvoyant is saying, trust me. I was like, dude, yes. I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I'm going to go with no.
That's right. We're told not to trust the clairvoyant. Yeah. Is nobody paying attention?
Yeah. no matter how it comes out, it's exciting new content. And along with that, again, on this slider on Blog Talk Radio is a screenshot from Marvel Knights with the Twitter feed confirming that they're not releasing Spec Ops yet. And here's why. They're still working on group bosses, take more time to develop and test. Many new villains. I said many villains, maybe not many new villains, but many villains in this thing. And the Lockbox, which has an existing villain in the game, is coming as well with 19.
Right. And do you have the actual, here, I'll pull up the actual tweets because
I can do that.
You know how he likes to drop hints.
Let's play, I'll give a hint. That clue.
Here it is. Maybe I'll give a hint for the spec op when it's in beta. Maybe a possible hint to Beta Ray Bill.
That'd be awesome.
It would be awesome. I really like Beta Ray Bill as a character.
Yeah. Then there's we don't have the exact being all in caps release date for ourselves. We have a small window, a few days, blah blah. So what's the clue with exact?
Or is I don't that think just him yelling at us? No, I think he's just saying we don't even have an exact release date for ourselves. Like we don't have a date where we say it's got to come out on this day. We have a little window that it's got to go through.
It talks about that again. The bug count. Hey guys, just a reminder. They don't talk about things as they're coming out. I said Spec Ops 19, but it says Spec Ops 24 is certainly next. So somehow I got my numbers off.
Well, it's funny because a while back he was saying that the very next thing we're going to release is Chapter 8, and then out came Pre-VP, and apparently out comes Spec Ops. So, it's got to be a fluid thing depending on their schedule. I mean, they're not going to hold everything else up so they can stick to a promise of getting Chapter 8 out, and we're fine with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And just because we have declared it PvP free day, every time it does come up in conversation, take a shot. There you go. You'll have more fun. I'll have more fun with the show if I can follow that rule. I'm just saying.
So while you guys were rambling on that topic, I did a little research, and the deal with Angela is that she's a Neil Gaiman character. And when he came back to Marvel in 2013, he brought her with him from Image Comics. She hadn't been published since 2000 or so.
Really? So she didn't come from – I thought she came from Spawn.
Well, she was a Neil Gaiman character.
Okay.
So when he came back to Marvel back in 2013, because I believe like Sandman is Marvel now too, I think too.
I didn't realize that was the same character because it was a game. I knew Gaiman has a Sandman. I know the Spider-Man universe.
No, different characters. What I'm saying is I think that Marvel publishes the Sandman stuff now.
Okay. All right.
And his new stuff for it. And I think that's kind of the whole deal is that once he comes to Marvel, everything he owns the rights to for comics comes with him, or at least that's what he agreed to. So yeah. And, Joe Quesada conceived a new, kind of a new costume slash version of her for Marvel. And then that first appearance in Guardians of the Galaxy there was kind of his whole, or Age of Ultron. I'm sorry. The end of Age of Ultron was his whole thing. So yeah.
Gotcha.
Very cool.
There you go. That's why she is now a Marvel character.
All right. Good. Well, thank you. Thanks for, for getting that.
And actually in the Ages Only Lounge, Infiltrator Buck has managed to find the entire story, the transcript of the interview, and post it there. So if you're an agent only, or if you're an agent of Patreon.
If you're only an agent.
I don't know how to phrase that. If you're one of our Patreons, you can actually get access to it there. And I'm sure it's making its rounds on all the other forums out there. And there's a forum I was asked to mention, and actually because they asked very nicely, I was going to mention it. And it's a smaller one, and honestly, maybe I'll have it by the tip of the week because I don't remember where it is. I did not make notes. I failed. Sorry. So let's talk about the new newsletter and page features on the HeliCare. So we talked last week about how our emails, from the fields, are just getting overwhelming. We're getting way too far behind. We're getting about 6 to 8 a week, which is great. And actually, if you want to send 100 a week, that's amazing. We can only read about 5 or 6 on any given show. And so we were trying to figure out a way that we get all this great information out, all this great stuff that you guys, you agents, have come up with, your opinions, your insights, your thoughts, and get it out and share it with everybody. And through a lot of different inputs, mostly Klotz. Klotz, spearheaded how we put this out there. Now, what I've actually done on the site is now at the top of thehelicarrier.com, next to where you see Kingfisher 745, it is from the flight deck. So not that we're pigeonholing you like Luke Cage on the flight deck or Nova. It's that it just didn't get to take off from the HeliCare. It didn't quite make it onto the show. We didn't take off.
There were a lot of Quinn jets taking off that day. Yeah. So you're going to be hanging out on the flight deck.
Yeah, so from the flight deck is the section where you can access all the emails that didn't make it onto the show. And actually, if there's a demand for it or if everybody thinks it's a good idea, I'll just put all the emails, read or not, in there, and that's fine.
Oh, there we go. That's a good idea. That way people can comment specifically on a certain one.
Because there's especially sometimes there's additions, like people send in screenshots or videos, those kind of things, and I'd like the world to be able to see some of that. So that'll all be there, but you can also sign up for the newsletter. And if you sign up for the newsletter, every Saturday afternoon, you'll get one email sent to you with all the emails that we just got from the field. So you can click on it there. You can read it in that one email. And you could Twitter share it, which I tested it out. I said, hey, I was reading through one of the ones we didn't get to on the show. And it's a really good email. I was like, man, this is really good. I just said, hey, I'm going to hit this Twitter button and see what happens. And it shot out the link and already got feedback from people going, man, that really was a great email. So you can share out the emails that you like and comment on them and those kind of things. So it's a really fun feature there.
So cool.
Done.
We probably should, and I think it's probably a good thing for us to say, too. If you do send an email that you don't want published, like basically it's like, this is just for you guys. Don't publish this. Don't share it. Just make sure to include that in in the copy of the email. Otherwise, we will include that. And it's something, that people have for okay to print. Hey, when you send an email to or a letter to Marvel Comics for the letters page, your favorite comic, you have to do that, too. You have to say it's okay to print. So there's that.
Cool.
All right.
Well, actually, we're going to work reverse. It's okay to print unless you just tell us not to.
Exactly. Yeah. We will assume, yes, we will assume okay to print unless you tell us
otherwise.
We're going
to default to you want to be heard unless you tell us you don't want to be heard.
Exactly.
So.
Cool. All right. Let's talk a little bit about a couple of video pieces of information. So first off, the Fantastic Four trailer got launched today, and I gotta say, I had some doubts just because of the track record of the Fantastic Four in film, especially the Galactus, the Rise of the Silver Surfer. I gotta say, this thing looks pretty good, and I know that they can just put the best looking stuff in the trailer, but I don't know. I'm a lot more excited for this than I was before I'd seen this. How about you guys?
I agree. I was very much poo-poo on you when I was reading all the details on it.
On me?
No,
what?
Well, okay, not you, but Fox. You know, unless you're with Fox, are you infiltrating us?
I am not with Fox.
Hell, Hydra. I don't know, Fox Hydra. Anyway, that didn't work, but never mind. When I saw the trailer, I'm like, okay, this really jumps into my mind. And somebody, Chris King, I think, tagged a post that said he thought it was a storyline from the 90s. But I did read an alternate storyline on the Fantastic Four where it was the young versions of these guys. You read Richard, Sue, all of them. And that they were building a portal. I think it's what ultimately in the main storyline became the doorway to the, it's not Nullverse, it's where's the prison in the void? It's not the void, what is it called?
Oh, the negative zone.
The negative zone. Thank you. Yeah, they ultimately built the portal, went to the negative zone, but I think in this alternate storyline they built a portal that ultimately jumped them across their own timeline or maybe across universes, and it was definitely an alternate storyline. But when I saw the trailer, I was very much reminded of that story.
So you don't think this is just basically a reboot of the origin?
I don't know without actually seeing the movie. I was just reminded of that. Yeah, I mean, okay. Is it Johnny who's now the black kid?
Yeah, his Michael
not to be insensitive.
Friday Night Lights, and
he's a great actor. I like him and stuff. Yeah. I recognized mostly the actors that they hired here. But it's interesting. Are they still going to make Sue and Johnny brother and sister, or no? Or
I think so. It's probably going to be a half brother or a stepbrother situation. You know? Sure.
Oh, yeah, just sure. To me, the lore of it is they're related. And if you
it's
take
not
that
fine.
Away,
I'm sorry.
Go for it. All right, wait. Here comes the sound. No time for the soapbox.
Okay, I said it before. It's just like. My feeling is that the reason why I say it's not fine, it's not that obviously I don't have any issues with the race of the actors or anything like that. I'm all for, you know, like I love the idea of like Miles Morales. Like if they reboot Spider-Man again and they want to do Miles Morales Spider-Man, I'm all about it. Like I wanted Donald Glover to be Spider-Man when they were talking about that. Like it's not a race issue for me. It is completely trying to adapt these things to be trendy, to fit some kind of modern expectation or anything like that. Like Fantastic Four was the original Marvel team. It's basically what all of Marvel was built on. And it's not that I'm not for things being kind of played with and stuff, but I don't feel like this was, well, we had a real reason for this other than we just cast this kid because he brings in the demographic we want showing up to the movie theater. And that to me is disingenuous. Like that makes no sense. I understand that, you know, films get cast based on star power, but it just felt like they're trying to reach out to an audience that isn't necessarily going to be into Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's like, but that the times have changed. Like comic films and TV shows, like, you know, I just started another semester of school last week, and the first 2 days I was on campus, I was walking out of one of the buildings that I have classes in, and I heard people talking about Gotham and Arrow out loud, like basically like over in the corner, like where the smokers smoke. They were all just talking about those shows. I'm like, these weren't like nerds. These weren't, you know, comic book geeks. These were normal people talking about comic content, you know, like, and they are, oh yeah, it's so awesome. And, but you know, they're gushing about it to each other and talking about it insightfully. And I'm like, it's broken out. It's mainstream now. Comic books and comic book characters are mainstream. So you don't have to like pander to a certain audience or try to reach out to a certain audience that you don't think you're going to get otherwise. You could, you know, when they did them last decade, you know, with the original team there, they had a good casting for that. I think they just didn't really write very good movies.
Yeah.
Right.
Agree, in this, right? They could have done
Jessica Alba and Chiklis.
Chiklis was great.
And who's that guy? Who's the guy who played Human Torch? I feel like I've seen him in some other superhero movie. Yeah. I can't remember. Oh, that's right. He's in every other superhero movie. Yeah.
And that version of the franchise getting killed is probably the best thing that could have happened for us because we got, you know, Evans as Cap, which is great. You know, I mean, I'm so glad that happened. Mm-hmm. But my whole thing is like, because the other thing is I don't really like the way they're handling Doom. They're making him some kind of cyber terrorist, and he's like a hack, like a disenfranchised hacker or something is what they said.
See, I didn't see Doom at all in the trailer.
No.
I was looking for
it. But I do think that's his narration. I'm guessing.
I thought it might be too.
So, I mean, that's my whole thing, is it's just like, it just doesn't feel like this was done for creative reasons. It feels like it was done as a marketing ploy, and I hate that about it.
It's possible. You know, it definitely is possible. And
if you do want to make if you want to get up on your soapbox, borrow mine, you know, and if you want to make a statement about racial equality and, like, changing, you know, traditional roles or taking traditional characters and offering them up as a different racial stereotype, then they should have made Sue African-American as well.
Sure.
That would have, you know, that would have been completely legitimate, you know?
So totally. And I think that there's ways to do that where where the character fits with the need for any of those racial changes that you would make. Like, Spider-Man going through those same kinds of treatment issues, you know, racism, could be a valid storyline. It could be like the Miles Morales thing, like basically having some sort of racism levied at Peter Parker or levied at Miles Morales could be integral to that character's development and could be integral to a storyline for that character. It's just when I'm with you, Paul, when it's done just for the sake of some diversity that doesn't add anything new to the story. Maybe it does. You know, I don't know. Well, not having seen how they're going to integrate that in the movie.
Basically, yeah, if this film plays out and they never address, you know, racial roles or anything like that, like, you know, stereotypes, anything like that at all, then what was the point?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, to take...
That it was just done for... Right.
You know what I mean? It's... And, like, when you do something like with Spider-Man, like, if you do Miles Morales, even if you don't address racial stereotypes and stuff like that in that story, the fact that it's a main character that is, you know, a superhero that is a different ethnic group from the norm is enough. It's statement enough, you know, because then you don't have to tell, you know, you don't have to dip into making it about race. And that's my whole thing. And they could have done that if they made it both, but it's just jarring now because, you know, I mean, I don't know.
I get you, but I think both of you are giving too much credit to these people. Let's look at the people who create comics and the people who write comic stories and then make these screenplays. The whole phrase "because boobs" does play out very much so. Just look at their thought patterns. They don't handle these transitions well, but they're trying, I think. And society, maybe they have a false sense of what goes on in society. You're not tackling this issue, but this is what comes to mind. In the mid-2000s, there's a storyline in the X-Men where I can't ever say the Russian version, Peter. I always try to say it. I don't know why. But Colossus, right? Mm-hmm. He's gay. And I believe Nightcrawler is also gay in this storyline. And it was very heavy-handed because they didn't understand the content they were writing, but they were trying to keep up with the times and say, hey, we're not just because boobs. We are actually trying to be a deeper, wider storyline. I just think, just as my own little soapbox, little side note here, is that I think you're right. They're probably doing it to tap into a larger market. But it's also heavy-handed because these are people writing from a sense that they don't know how to understand the characters, and they really don't understand the changes in society today and how to make that smooth. That's just...
But the thing is, though, the people who write the comic books Fantastic Four are not the people who make this movie.
That's true.
This is a Fox film, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's one of the other things, is Fox has shown time and time again that they couldn't give a flying F...
Yeah,
editing myself here. They couldn't care less about comic continuity, because look what happened with X-Men. Look what happened with the first Wolverine Origins movie. Like, I mean, they took one of the most popular Marvel characters ever, Deadpool, and butchered him and made the end of that film a travesty. Like, that film was pretty bad overall, but the end of that film is almost unwatchable. Like, it's sickening to me as a comic book fan. And to see the Merc with a mouth...
Not have a mouth?
Like, have his mouth sewn together. Yeah. Spoiler, sorry if you didn't see that in the last decade. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's so... They just don't care. Right. And it's happened time and time again. And so I have no faith in Fox in that regard. Like, I was very surprised by Days of Future Past in that regard. So, I guess we should probably move on, because this is a game about Avengers Alliance and not these films. But that's my stance.
Well, right. Fair enough. All right. Let's see here.
One more other thing, though, on the live action stuff. Fox, speaking of Fox, they've also announced that they're in talks. There's no official plans yet, but they're in talks to develop a live action weekly X-Men TV show. So, you've got your Arrow, you've got your Flash, you've got your Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., your Agent Carter, your Gotham, and Heroes Reborn coming back at some point.
What?
You haven't heard about that?
No.
Yeah, no Zachary Quinto, though. But they're also talking about a live-action X-Men TV show. This absolutely has me worried, because usually, again, Marvel's got the wherewithal. Marvel / Disney has the wherewithal, the money, and the knowledge to make the stories relatively true to the comics and say that, we've already done this writing, we've already done this character development, we're gonna just use that. These things that are already established that have worked in the comics for a long time, we're gonna just continue to use that. And a live action Fox X-Men TV show really has me worried that they're going to be like, this isn't really going to be Xavier's school. It's going to be another school, and it's going to be eight new mutants, not the new mutants, but eight different
new
mutants.
Individual
right,
mutants.
Yeah. That we have no plans on ever using for the movies, because we want to keep that area sacred and not cause any brand confusion.
I can see it being an FX show, because I thought Sons of Anarchy was decent.
Which
is not a Marvel show.
Justified is fantastic. FX does well.
And FX and Fox are, I don't know if they're like exactly the same company or if they're just a brother or sister company. But I know they're owned by the same overlords.
Sure.
HBO doing it would be badass.
Yeah, it's not as if Fox is incapable of doing something good. Days of Future Past was excellent.
Yeah, it was.
But I think it's all about motive. It's all about intent. And I don't have any inside information any more than any of us do.
Sure.
But when I look at the press releases and the articles written about the interactions between Fox and Marvel, it seems a lot to me that Fox is in this situation where they know that if they don't keep pumping out these films, they're going to lose their rights. They see everybody else making a ton of money and getting a ton of attention and publicity off of these TV shows and these movies, and they're not part of it. Fox isn't the company that's leading the way in film and entertainment like they once were. And I think they feel that, and I think they kind of snatched the toy out of Marvel's hands, because that was the agreement at the time, and now they're just smashing it against the ground violently out of spite, and just trying to get some some personal vindictive enjoyment out of it. Maybe. I think they're just trying to squeeze whatever dollars they can from it, and then just kind of ruin it as much as they can, so that if they ever do decide to cut it loose, that it's just almost irreparable for Marvel.
take your broken toys back.
Not going the other way where Marvel's killing the Fantastic Four off, but
they've pretty much said that. They've said, "Yeah, we killed Fantastic Four." And they killed Wolverine. Why did they kill Wolverine in the comic books? Bite their thumb at Fox, I guess.
But here's the thing with it. You're addressing two different audiences. The comic book fans like us were like, oh, they killed Wolverine. Oh, they're killing the Fantastic Four. But the people who watch the Fox movies don't read the comics. They don't have a clue that Fox is, may or may not be, because still – we have to wait till the movie actually comes out to be told. But going back to even Wolverine, they don't know that they slaughtered Deadpool. They don't even know who the hell Deadpool is. So they just saw Hugh Jackman naked.
I like that you act like there's this completely different audience for
it's not completely different. But Fox, if you think about it,
the Fox-based comic movies versus the Disney and Marvel comics.
Not the movies, but the comics versus the movies.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I think with digital comics being so widely available and everything, I think people are reading more than they used to, especially like, you know what? I was in a game store over the weekend and we went to a larger city that's about an hour away and it's got a big game store there. And so I'm standing in there and I watch, you know, what I would term as a normal like family walk in, like people who aren't particularly nerdy.
Casuals.
Casuals. If you will. And they walk in and this woman that does not look like she's ever picked up a comic book in her life goes, "Oh, hey, look, it's a Groot." And it was a dancing Groot thing that was in a display. Yeah. And I was like, that's a household name now. Yeah. Like that's when it hit me. I knew it was a popular franchise, but that struck me like a ton of bricks. I was like, I cannot believe that, you know, Groot is a household name. He was such an obscure character a year and a half ago, you know? So it's like, it's changing. And I think people do pick up the books because of that, I think, or at least subscribe to this online services where they can get them quickly, you know? So I think it is changing. And as people delve deeper and deeper into the back catalog, they're going to be like, what is going on with the creative direction of some of these people that are involved? You know, it's kind of like what happened with the third Blade movie there. You know, like that, I've read some stuff since that it was just the production was a mess. I guess they had some issues with Wesley Snipes. He like just didn't want to be there or whatever. And that production fell apart and that they had to rewrite that film mid-production and turn it into the garbage heap that it is because they just didn't care.
I liked that one.
Oh, see that? No, that one is clearly the worst of the three.
All right. Before we get off on all that, let's take a break here. We're going to hit All Hail the King and see what he has to say about, well, you know, whatever the hell he wants us to talk about.
What is up? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
What is this?
I've been experimenting with my openings, and if you caught the last All Hail the King video, you probably heard my other one. But I'm not sure if we're quite there just yet. But hey, I'm a world-class singer, and I don't want to deprive the world of that.
Amen, bro.
I'm available, I'm just saying. Anyways, this is the All Hail the King segment for anyone who maybe thought they were at the Grammys or something like that. And there's absolutely nothing new in the game other than a magic costume. And that's going to take another 10 days or something crazy like that to get. So for the remainder of the show, the guys have asked me to sing for you. And you'll be listening to the smooth sounds of Kingfisher Sings the Hits. Alright, fine. We'll try to find something to talk about. In Agent Fisher-related news, I do have my final hero training to level 14 right now, and that hero is Nova. So now hopefully I can build up my silver and wait for the inevitable level 15. But just hold off until I have like 20 or 40 million or 100 million silver. Then I'm good to go. No problem. Now allow me to say two quick things about Spec Ops 24. First, I definitely believe it's going to be released very soon, as in today. And B, don't listen to the Kingfisher, he's totally wrong about that. Much like Vince McMahon was when he tweeted out that the Royal Rumble was going to start off a great year for the WWE. In really current news, I'm fighting Loki right now, and so I'm going to get a sealed locket, and also maybe a taco or something. That is, if I'm lucky. Okay, there are a few serious updates that I do want to share with you. So I've been thinking of doing a serious comic cover collection video. I don't know why I keep saying serious, but I am super serial. Like I was telling my patrons, and by the way, you could become a patron by visiting. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I mean, you could donate, and you could become a patron, but I'm kidding about bringing it up randomly. But anyways, I've been trying to collect some of the easier comic cover collections in real life, and then I'd like to do a video on it somehow, but I'm not sure how I'm going to shoot it just yet. Currently, I have all but one of Moonstone's, and I'm also missing one of Sabretooth's. Then I also made some progress on a few other collections. So we'll see what happens there. And I'm going to do a beginner series where I'm going to start another account and basically show the early process of getting started. Hopefully that'll help any new players or anyone hoping to get into the game. So if you know anyone who could benefit from that, or anyone you want to try to get into the game, then link them to that series. It should definitely help out with the basics. But no, I am not deleting my main account. I think that some people thought I was legitimately starting completely over, and I have to say that would make me clinically insane. Also, in Marvel-related news, I have returned to playing Marvel Heroes, and I do plan on making a video at least of my return and my impressions on the game, but I'll give you a quick spoiler, I like it. Seriously, I started playing right when it came out, and I pretty quickly gave up. Not that it was a bad game back then, but I don't know, just something about it I didn't like. Or I should maybe say, something that didn't keep me playing. It's hard to even pinpoint, but it kind of was the controls. Not that that's completely overhauled, but it does seem slightly different, or at least more playable on my computer. But yes, now it definitely feels like a game I'd like to really get into. Not that it's going to overtake Marvel Avengers Alliance. That's always going to be my number one and my main priority. But I think I would like to make videos on it as well. As far as MAA, I don't think I'd ever run out of ideas. So that's one great thing about the game. But sometimes it's hard to find out what exactly I'd like to do for the All Hail the King video, especially when there isn't new content. But for this week, I'm actually going to go ahead and answer a lot of fans' requests, and I will do the most popular defensive teams, or in other words, I'll show the top defensive teams right now. Although it won't come in time for this preseason, it will be in time for the next regular season. So hey, when all else fails, give the fans what they want. No, I'm just kidding. I hope you all know I do try to give the fans what they want all the time. But sometimes there are just too many requests for me to get around to. Also, when it comes to defensive teams, we unfortunately can't show teams on defense. So oftentimes I'm wondering, how exactly do I show this? Obviously, I'm just going to have to show them on offense and explain why they do well. So hey, Playdom, give us some sort of practice mode where we can test out our own defensive teams. That's something that many of us agents would love to have, and it really would help out a lot. I say let's go ahead and start a movement right now. Take to Twitter, and I don't know if tickets help, but do that too. And that's going to be it for today's different All Hail the King segment. Thank you all for listening, and I want to send it back to the hosts.
What the hell just happened?
That was the best All Hail the King yet.
Ever. Best All Hail the King ever. When did, you know, I think working with us has helped. I know he's improved how we do our show and how we played our game. But you know, when did he get from, what is up, YouTube, to this super entertainer that just killed it? That was very awesome, man. That was great.
Yeah.
I want more of that. You've set the bar high now, sir. I want more of that.
Wow. So,
wow.
That was something special. To touch back very briefly on the film conversation we had, somebody mm-hmm. called us out in chat and said, what about the Daredevil film? You guys really dodged a bullet there. You are absolutely right. Daredevil was a terrible comic book film, and it was made by 20th Century Fox.
Until, now here's where I'll put a little spin on this. I agree. Daredevil, as a theater version, was bad. I was like, I don't understand why they did this. But if you get the director's cut, unedited version, there's two added scenes that literally change the whole feel of the movie. I mean, it's really? To me, it's a whole different movie. I will stand by it all day long, and I'll probably get thrown under the bus because, you know, just for record, I actually like 3,000 Miles of Graceland. So if you know what that is, keep you know, grain of salt here. But yeah, right. I really felt like
tell me edition. Tell me your thoughts on Elektra.
She's hot.
Oh God, that was
that's about
I
it.
I saw that movie yeah. in the theater, and that was bad.
Yeah, I mean the deleted scene of her having a vision of him coming, Daredevil coming to her and talking to her in a dream. It was bad. It was bad.
And the thing about that one was like that was kind of on the heels of a lot of Chinese action films that were like, you know, all the wire work films.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of in that vein, but very shoddily done. And it was just like, oh no, you, oh God, guys.
The two scenes that really stand out in my mind is when her dad gets killed on the side of the road. And then this whole thing where she's in the mansion and she's like doing her thing to dummies in the dark hallway or dark ballroom or whatever. And I was like, it's just bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not rough. Good.
But we agreed. Should move on. We should stop talking about the movies this time. But there is one thing from Expanded Universe News that in regards to Marvel stuff, there's been a casting announcement for the Jessica Jones TV show. Of none other than a former doctor, David Tennant,
who?
As
who?
The Purple Man.
Virtual high five.
Oddly enough, while we're recording, I get a message from my roommate who's in the very same room with us through Skype. Like, did you see this? You should probably talk about it. And it was already in the notes. But yeah, no, that's really exciting. David Tennant coming to the Marvelverse. I'm really excited to see him kind of run away with some new material.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And the Purple Man is boy, he is bad. He is a
I don't know him, actually.
He's basically got the power of persuasion, ultimate power of persuasion. He basically can make anybody do whatever he wants. And
interesting.
He does some horrible things in God, what was it? It was one of the first Avengers relaunch titles, and I can't remember which one it was, but yeah, it's a heavy duty story. It was when everybody broke out of the raft in that that first Secret Avengers.
Oh,
or,
you know, Batman, yeah. Dark Knight. No,
not what?
That one, sorry, that was original. And DC did it first, where Bane broke out everybody from Arkham Asylum, and then let's do one where everybody breaks out of the raft. It just
was the comic came out years before the. Before Dark Knight Rises.
Well, I mean the movie. I mean the book.
The storyline?
The storyline. Right. Sorry.
Okay. I think bad guys have been getting out of superhero prison long before either of those two storylines.
That's probably true. So anyway. This the only thing that irritates me about that story right there, the Purple Man, David Tennant, is when the hell are we getting these things? I am so ready. Daredevil.
Daredevil coming in March, right?
I don't know. I personally have not heard dates. I'm very, very antsy to see what Netflix is going to do with these series. I want to consume them. I want to see them.
I think it's, let me get it here. I think Friday, no, I'm sorry, April 10th is when we should be expecting the Daredevil Netflix series with Charlie Cox and Deborah Ann Woll from True Blood and Vincent D'Onofrio as the Kingpin.
Yeah, I forgot he was cast as Kingpin. I'm like, yeah, man, that's going to be awesome.
Yes.
That's going to be cool.
But we don't have a date yet for AKA Jessica Jones, or what was the other one that we...
There's four.
They teased, Blade? Right.
Isn't it, I think it's
Iron
Blade.
Fist, or Luke Cage, right?
Luke Cage, mm-hmm. Jessica Jones, Daredevil... And I'm losing it now. Was it a New Blade series?
The Defenders.
Was it?
That was the other one. Okay. So Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, The Defenders.
Okay. So
I really want more Blade. But I want more Guillermo del Toro Blade. And
yeah. See, that's another thing. I mean, who they still own the rights on that one.
Marvel got Marvel, right? Blade back.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Yeah. Because nobody had made the film. After the third one kind of flopped, they were trying to put it together.
They did a TV show, but I don't think that counted towards the We Get It
right,
Back contract.
And okay. Who, that was FX, wasn't it?
That was FX.
New Line.
That did the TV
New
show.
Line set. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. The movies were New Line.
Yeah.
All tied together. But I don't think it mattered. So something came up in the chat room here. I typed it in their expanded universe. Somebody asked us in the chat room, can you at least acknowledge how Marvel Disc Wars suck? I was like, I've never heard of this game.
Disc Wars either.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I won't Google it, dude. I thought hopefully...
Disc Wars Avengers. Hold on a sec. Marvel Disc Wars, the Avengers, television anime series. I have not even heard of this thing. April 2nd, 2014, TX Network, Disney XD.
Oh, there's a problem. No, that's not true. Disney XD puts on some great Marvel cartoons.
The Avengers, what was it? Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yeah.
Avengers series was great. I have not even heard of this. So, but it's anime... two out of five stars according to IMDb. Yeah. So,
and apparently, it actually focused on a made up team or a team I've never heard of. The first things listed on Wikipedia is the heroes, and it's Akira Akatsuki, Hikaru Akatsuki, Edward Grant, Chris Taylor, and Jessica Shannon. All characters I've never heard of. Then, of course, it has the Avengers. So it sounds
guys. Right. It's looking at this photo, this picture from the show. I mean, it's kids and Iron Man, Hulk,
and
Wasp.
So, Golden Monhao says it's a Pog-like game of anime.
Okay. All right. Hey, guess what? Not
Marvel heroes throwing floppy disks at each other. That's awesome. Oh, God, that would be horrible if it was like a Beyblade or something like that where these right. kids are like, I throw out Iron Man, and then Iron Man shows up to fight. What the hell? That doesn't make any sense. I can okay, see why yeah. they made it, but
so this is interesting because this is made for Japanese audiences. It's yeah. It began airing in Japan or no. Yeah, it began airing in Japan in April 2nd, 2014. So, yeah, this is a show, a Marvel themed show aimed at Japanese audiences. So, this is kind of interesting. Now I'm curious to check it out if only to see how bad it is. Mhm.
You let us know. You go watch that and you let us know.
Yeah, I mean...
It's well, a Marvel manga-verse, is what they're saying.
Right. And the thing is, like, it's... The merchandising is through produced by Bandai. So this is clearly... I mean, Japan has a long history of truly awful television shows that are basically made to appeal to young boys, you know, because this is aimed at boys 6 to 12. And... It's supposed to be, you know, high excitement, relatively high action for what they're doing. And it's supposed to sell toys, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the things we talked about it briefly before. We actually mentioned before the show, McFall and I were talking about Young Justice because he quoted from it. Young Justice was a show that got canceled because it was appealing too much to teenage, like older than the intended audience, boys and girls. And they ultimately canned it because their whole point of it was they wanted to sell toys. So that's something to keep in mind with some of the animated stuff is sometimes it's meant as a vehicle to sell merchandise, you know, merchandise, mm-hmm. Which is a shame because sometimes it can really tarnish the name of a good franchise. So yeah, that looks like that's basically what this is it looks like they're adapting the concept, taking Marvel and stamping it on one of those spin the top battle
Dragon
games.
Man, yeah. Dragon Man Ball Z is what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and I mean, go ahead.
I mean, I watch some anime. I don't watch a ton of it. Like, I'm selective about the ones I do watch, and I have watched some mainstream ones that, like, they get slammed a little bit for being whatever that they are because there's a perception of them. But it can be intensely frustrating to try to watch Japanese stuff because it's like this whole marketing machine. Like they just have it down where they just pump out this content that is not, it's really just there to sell. Well, you know what I mean? Like it's there to earn somebody's ticket or to earn somebody's dollar or I should say yen to buy the toys. And they're not trying, you know what I mean? Like they're strictly just throwing something out there. So someone will buy it. And it's unfortunate, but that's one of their business models and it's been effective for them in the past. So they kind of persist, but things are changing a bit. Lately there's been more series coming out that take a little more heart to staying authentic and developing solid stories and not just going off, you know, jumping the shark, if you will.
Yeah. Now they are calling for From the Field in the chat room. So I want to try something random and new. Let's see if it flies here. So we got one more thing I want to touch on before we hit the field. So in 140 characters or less, Chris Pratt as Indiana Jones. What do you think?
I don't see why not. I mean, God, yeah. Why does it have to be Indiana Jones? Why can't it be Nate from Uncharted? Or Nathan.
Well, God, that'd be
Uncharted.
Awesome. But because that Disney's awesome. Actually, apparently rumors are they're eyeballing him to do a new Indiana Jones series. My take on it is if it was he's the son. You know, the last Indiana Jones, he discovered he had a son. It was Shia LaBeouf, so I would not want to know I had that son either. I'm just saying. Anyway, if it's a passing of the hat, as it were, if it's Indiana Jr., you know, from Harrison Ford, you know, character, he's still Indiana Jones or the ultimate Indiana Jones. If it's the next generation, I'll for it.
Sure. I don't see why they have to continue the Indiana Jones storyline. I mean, or
I don't know.
It certainly isn't due for a reboot. You know, I mean, the passing the hat thing, I'd be okay with if it wasn't Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying.
If it was almost anybody but Shia LaBeouf. I don't think Chris Pratt can pull off being young enough to be Harrison Ford's son. Maybe.
I don't know. We'll see.
No, he can. He's right in the right age. Harrison Ford is a lot older than I think we think he is.
Yeah, Harrison Ford ages really well.
We're going to see this December, won't we?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, if there's an access ramp for the Millennium Falcon, we'll right. know.
The Millennium Falcon now goes only 35 miles per hour with its blinkers on in the right lane.
There's railings on the ramp in the back.
That's right.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, here we go. Here we go.
What do you have to report, Agent?
From the field.
Nice. All right. Our first one comes from Agent Steampunk. Says, hi, guys. My name is Per Goranson, but you can call me Agent Steampunk. I have some questions, but one I really want some answers on. Are there any good tips to get out of a certain league in PvP tournaments? I always get stuck at gold. get stuck at gold, and when I get higher than that gold, 5 minutes later, I'm back to gold. Any good tips for a soon-to-be level 300 agent? Yeah, best tip we can offer is subscribe to Kingfisher's videos and watch them. They're great, great information on really good teams. I don't know. I mean, listen to us, but listen to King.
Yeah.
It's basically the best advice.
Poor Man's PvP is a great video series. Any of the PvP active series that, you know, when you're in a PvP, watch the active information that he has and go back and hit the last four or five episodes that we've put up here, because we've covered a lot of different tips over those episodes of how to do it and just play hard. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's the bottom line.
Yeah. Klotz, yeah, don't just do your five. Yeah.
What do you think, Klotz?
Yeah, I mean, like I've said it before, align yourself with find one of the good groups on Facebook. I'm pretty fond of the Agents Only Lounge, personally. and then, you know, just align yourself with good content and good advice and, you know, let the veterans kind of steer you in your decision making, and find other people you can talk to about the game that will, you know, that can give you a little bit of advice that'll keep you pumped up. Because, I mean, that's, we've acknowledged on the show here before that the three of us, sometimes there are times where any one of us might have dropped off the boat of playing the game, if not for the show and if not for the community around it, you know, because it just would have gotten to that point where we're just too busy and, you know, well, that's the one that falls off, you know, and maybe we would have come back. Maybe we wouldn't have. So you want to, you know, you really want to surround yourself with other people who are pumped and who, you know, have some good insight and can keep a positive outlook and kind of keep you motivated, and then just stick with it. You know, just, you know, do it's a journey. You know what I mean?
It's not a destination. Adamantium is a journey. Yeah. It starts right back over as soon as you get it.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So Agent Sketches writes in with, howdy, hey, FDH. Agent Sketches with a quick suggestion for the game. But before we start, this podcast is damn awesome.
Aw, cool.
I love the voice.
Thanks,
you put
man.
On the inflection.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. Yeah. I'm feeling flirty today, so we're gonna have fun with these. I take my time off on Tuesdays just to watch the show, and I even listen to some of your segments after on your website, which now looks hella freaking awesome. and I have to admit, no one may be worthy enough to lift Thor's hammer, but I am pretty sure you guys own the helicarrier. So props to you, Warriors 3. I can't believe that's the first time anybody's made the Warriors 3 yeah. comment.
And I can't believe we get trolled like this. What is up with the hate mail, man? Come on.
I don't know. I just had to... okay, now back to the suggestion. A couple of segments back, you guys were talking about a way to bring and attract new players to PvP. My solution would be to bring back cheap hero prices of 15, 23, 32, and 48. How would this work? Well, one, this will easily help new players buy a hero faster without worrying about getting 90 CP for one character. Two, any hero you buy has a hero bonus on PvP, so as long as they have cheap heroes to get, this will give them less to worry about, you know, in balancing things. In my team and worry only about having enough silver and shield points to train them. And three, it would help the new players finish season two chapters much faster. And I mean, come on, the last time we got a cheap character was Quicksilver. That was 2 years ago. In the meantime, I'm going to suit up. I sense something coming soon, possibly a new chapter with Mr. Fantastic as one of the worthy. Even though that sounds kind of like a stretch. Okay, time to go. Well, not really. I am in the chat room. Great letter. Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been sitting on an article concept for a while where I was going to sit down and talk about their pricing with the heroes, and I was going to take it and compare it to other games that have a similar cast of characters, if you will. For example, League of Legends has like over 100 characters, just like MAA does. And, you know, Marvel Heroes has a lot of many of the same characters. And while because it's a RPG and it's an action RPG and it's a little more involved to introduce a character, they don't necessarily have quite as many. They still have a ton and they're still way cheaper if you're, you know, if you're buying them and everything. And even if you were to farm them in game, it's still much, much faster to get them. So that's coming sometime probably in the next couple of weeks. I don't want to promise it in the next week or two because I just started a new semester. I apologize. Once I get in the swing of things and get my schedule all ironed down, then, you know, I'll start generating some content too. Mentioning that, I mean, we mentioned it at the top of the show, but like if anybody has something to write in about where you want to write an article, even if you're not 100% confident that you like what you would send in would be like article ready, I can work with anybody and we can shape it into something and get it out there. So, you know, we want to put content up on the site. I'm a little busy to generate it myself right now. So if anybody out there has something you really are passionate about, or you have this really good idea, or even like a team primer, if you want to do a primer and like, this is my PvP team, or this is how I go through, you know, this chapter of season two or something like that, hit us up, send it in. We'll work with you. We'll get it all fleshed out and we'll put it up there and it'll look great. Cause you know, that's my, everything goes out with my stamp of approval in the end, and I aim to put the best stuff out there possible. So,
and along those same lines, we actually, the three of us, were working together for a while on a audio primer to go along with the missions. And you now that the content's actually slow, we might look at doing that again.
Yeah,
right after we started that, they dropped like 10 things at once for us to focus on.
Well, yeah, it was that. Exactly. The other thing we were waiting on was getting the site ironed out. That's and true. It is. Yeah. I mean, the site looks great. Ibbot did a great job. So
here.
You know, there we go.
Get out.
Awesome. All right, here we go. Oh, yeah, this is a button. So Agent Osirico called this in, and let me find where I put it. Here we go. Now, this is about, it says January 13th, so roughly about 2 weeks ago it came in. So it's my apologies, but I've kept it on the list, and here we go.
Of Agent Osinico reporting in. I scored the Scroll of Englebub yesterday after an incursion. I'm like, hey, cool, I finally have this thing. I don't have to pay for it next time it goes on sale. I went and I equipped it, and I'm not seeing a big deal. What's all the fuss about? Was this thing really a game changer at one point? On another note, I got Hybrid last week. Yeah, I had to pay some gold to get like the last 30 lockboxes, but whatever. He's badass. He just trained to level 9. And, oh, man. He's easy to level, too, because he's fun. He dodges a lot, and his attacks are absolutely wicked. It's awesome. Not a character I really cared about getting as a lockbox, but, boy, now I'm glad I've got him. So, all right. Looking forward to the next episode, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Now, I've sat on that for 2 weeks just because I wanted to wait it, because I instantly loved that response. I have cut the button.
Oh, man.
I could just...
Oh, man.
Anytime we really like something, man, it's going to come out. It's like, oh, they launched Daredevil on Netflix today.
Oh, man.
You know, so I love it. It's awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Osinico.
Yeah, this is why we're never going to get another audio file ever. Like, nobody's ever calling in again.
You know, they can't raise the bar better than he did. That was just such an honest and real response. Like, I love that. I gotta keep that. Real quick, I think we might be on the same page. But going back to the Warriors 3, I think it plays out fairly easily that I would be Volstagg. You know, the big basher, you know, I like to drink a lot, eat the ham, it's all good. And then Hogan, I think we might have a little debate here, but I think Hogan would be Ibbot. Tactful, oh, really? But smashing. And I think because Klotz is always about the numbers, right? He knows what's coming up. He knows just this tactical information. I think he might be Fandral in the game. Not sure. The comic book characters, maybe, but in the game, how they play out.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah, good.
Next. That's hilarious.
All right,
Agent Greg Dude wrote in, said I made it into Club Sparta back in August. It was on a Tuesday morning, right before a show. However, I didn't get a shout out because it was the same day that Preview Alpha launched at the start of the show and everything else got shoved to the side. So this time I'm writing in as I made it to level 300 in the iOS game over the weekend. The game definitely has its faults, but I do enjoy playing it. And since I've put $0 into it, I've certainly gotten my money's worth from it. As I predicted last week, the iOS game launched Spec Ops on Thursday. They jumped ahead to number 18, Symbiosis, featuring Anti-Venom and Sandman. This means that Iceman and Falcon will be future PvP heroes. Also, today's game day on iOS. Since I haven't put any money into the game, I'll be finishing in gold once again. If you have time, I have something completely different to bring up, and he's going to bring it up now. There are many hero-specific EISOs, but there are none for the agent. Well, I have a crazy idea for one. As you know, there are many heroes that can go first in combat. So how about an EISO that makes the agent go last in combat, but it would give him two actions like Quicksilver or Omega Sentinel? Going last would be a huge disadvantage to the agent, as he might not survive to see his first turn, and probably not his second one, but giving him two actions would be an interesting way to balance it out. That's cool. That is an interesting.
Cool, right?
Yeah, that would be. See, I like things that they can add to the game that say, "Here is this great thing we're going to give you the option for, but it comes with a little bit of a price." You know, because right now there are lots of things that's like, "Here's a pretty good thing. Here's another pretty good thing. Here's another good thing." But what if they gave you this great thing that there was a little bit of a price you could pay? Kind of like the Power of Four is a good example. There's some other. Things that are like at a cost, you know.
Well, and the funny part about that is like a lot of the things are like, here's an okay thing. And let's repeat that like 10, 20 times. here's a decent thing. And then, oh my God, like Becky, look at that thing. Because every once in a while, something like the cube comes along and you're like, okay, so I have three slots now on my agent.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
Or more recently with the weather control device, it was like, okay, well, this is a thing. This
no,
is
I'm
a
down thing to two slots.
Yeah.
You know, so it would be nice to see something that kind of went a little differently, you know, because like, that's a great idea. I love that. Like, give a strong downside initially, but then it gives you a more strategic option, which is great. You know, I mean, that's something I've pushed for a long time. I want to see more opportunity for strategic choices. I want to see, you know, I play an attrition team in PvP. I'd like to see the ability to really control what's going on with that. So yeah, I think that's great.
And it would change. It would make you change up your strategy. I mean, you'd rewrite your loadout based on going last, saying, okay, so it may not be as important for me to have neurotrope, but it might be more important for me to have shields, that sort of thing.
Yeah. You know, now, in like an interesting twist, we all thought it was a cool idea. The chat room almost flat out hates it. You know, that. Well, somebody, Tonfa Man says it's interesting, but everybody else is like, use Wonder Man for that. That sounds like Saber.
Well,
it's just going down the line. You know, Sabretooth, pretty bad in action. What, two turns? There's already a bajillion ways to
get
that.
No. Agent Grimm says use Wonder Man with that. So that sounds like he's planning
with
a team
that.
Up.
Yeah, okay. Right.
And Nikolai's just being negative, which is kidding.
Some people are just saying, you know, there's other ways to do it, as I'll say.
Right. You know, again, it'd be an EISO, so completely optional, but people could throw that in if they wanted that to happen. So
it was kind of like it's the scroll of Uncle Zach that lets you ultimately you get the extra turn, but then you die, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so items like that are interesting, you know, that give you a huge advantage, but then have a downside. As long as they're not things that kill your agent, because, you know, not for nothing, I'm kind of tired of sandbagging aids being introduced to the game.
Sure. And there's no way that I'd be using that thing on my defensive team.
Yeah.
No way.
So we got a couple more emails here, though. We got to blast through.
The Pokey Professor wants to know what we think of his email.
Which is after the one that I'm about to read. So
wait your turn.
Yeah, what?
No, I'm yelling at him.
And that's all the time we have for reading emails.
Yeah, that's all the time we have for From the Field.
All right, carry on.
Greetings, Helicarrier directors. I've been thinking lately about how PvP could be improved, and I had an idea. Playdom has showed that they can restrict us to certain characters in the daily missions, so it could also be done for PvP. My idea is that it would be a bonus system. During the tournament, there would be certain characters or weapons that give a bonus, say double the ranking points than usual. If you're, say, using Mr. Fantastic, and why shouldn't you be, and he's the bonus character, you could get up to 30 to 40 points of ranking with every battle. If you choose not to use it, you'd get the usual 15 to 20 points. I think this would be a nice way to add some variety to PvP. You could also work on defense by slashing in half the points you lose every defense if you're using the bonus character in your defensive team. Take care, and may you always end up in adamantium. That, you know, it could use some polish, that idea, but I think that's an incredible idea.
I think this is a perfect way to do the weekend PvP matches. Like, basically, yeah. It's Avengers-only PvP weekend, right? Or kind of like we see with the Marvel Puzzle Quest or games like that, where you're given a limited set of characters to play with. The rewards aren't, you know, brand new character, but, you know, gold, CP, whatever. And you're forced, you're limited to a certain set of characters. Only female character PvP or, you know, chick fight PvP.
Well, somebody did point out, I don't remember if it's in the lounge, if it's in one of the emails that is in the on thehelicarrier.com, but somebody pointed out, hey, they've proven with the daily missions they can easily restrict heroes and characters, so they can absolutely do that for PvP. So maybe they're working on it. Maybe that's kind of what they're looking for. Yeah, I mean, dude, I can't even remember what it was like to play in the first year anymore. You know, we've got so many improvements, so many changes now. It's there should never truly be a content drought ever again. You know, with the daily missions, and now they're doing the covert ops on top of that too. I mean, there's always something. Maybe not a ton of content, but there's always something going on.
And I think that that helps a lot. You know, like, it helps smooth out these gaps. But yeah, I love this idea. Like, to touch back on it real quick, I like Ibbot's idea of doing like the weekend PvP thing as well. But I love the idea of, you know, different, if we're going to have month long PvP tournaments, introducing like every few days a new variable that changes the way
you recruit points.
You know, like, that would make it very interesting, because that would pretty much do what everybody who's frustrated with PvP right now is complaining about, and that is that it's the same teams over and over again, and there's no variety, and it's not interesting. It's, you know, you learn your team, you play that team all the time, and nothing but that team. It gets very boring. Right, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, adding something that kind of forces us, or at least incentivizes us to adjust, is a really strong idea. And I think I like his idea of keeping the baseline. Like, don't punish people who are like, nope, this is my team, this is the team I want to play, I'm going to play this team. But then incentivizing trying other things and playing with different combinations, I think that would be really good. And I actually, now that I'm thinking about it, see, this is like, this would be an awesome like brainstorm session at, you know, if I was a developer. One of those things where, you know how we get the team-up bonuses that apply to our score? What if they were using those in PvP? And those team-up bonuses that add to our score would add to the potential for our rating to change in PvP. You know what I mean? So, like, you know,
if you use Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, you get a little bonus to your rating if you win, basically.
Right, exactly. I think that could be really awesome. Now, I also think, like, I'd like that in addition with these other kind of change ideas, and it could be one of those criteria that comes up from time to time. It doesn't have to be strictly separate. And I like it because, you know, I think if it was just that, it would get very stale again, because we would find out, oh, well, you know, this character that's pretty good and this character that's super busted have an awesome team up bonus, and that's the new go-to team, because if you do win, the points are just so awesome. Right. You know, we want to see something that kind of keeps things in flux, and I think that's great. And the biggest thing about that is that tests people's play skill. And that's really what I think most of us who are competitive PvPers want to see, is something that tries our skills. It forces us to adapt, you know, to adjust to what's going on and to play to the best of our ability, regardless of the environment and situation. I think that would be great.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. And honestly, for the final email of the show, Agent Pokey Professor made it in just by the hair of his skin here. Greetings from the Hella Carrier. It's your friendly neighborhood of Pokey Professor again with another email. Maybe this time I'm able to get on the air with my topic. Third time, after all, is a charm. Now, you know, if you're going to complain, we're just going to cut the email right here, man. Come on. So, no, I know sometimes it's becoming harder and harder to get on the show, but you know what? Here you go. You made it today. Mm-hmm. With all the talk you guys were doing last week on phased and whatnot, there was something I had to bring up that I think was really missing in the discussion. And that's the simple fact that the reason why phased and Phoenix revival ability were so strong back in the day was simple lack of counters for them. Back when they ruled PvP, I feel like there should be some jungle music behind me. Back in the early days of Dinosaurs, when they ruled PvP, there was only one hero who could counter phased, that being Magic, who at the time wasn't available for purchase, as this was before Playdom had started releasing Spec Ops characters permanently. Let's not even go into how phased had a double nerf in the fact that not only could you no longer protect with it, but you were hit by psychic and magic attacks as well. That was a sad day when you could no longer be phased and protect. Man, I had a killer PvP team when I could do that. Mace of Hoarfrost and it's not the Sinister Scepter, it's the other one that makes you your agent phased.
Right, the the Sinister Scepter is the one that lets you go into phase. Isn't that what you're talking about?
Maybe it is the Sinister Scepter. Yeah, it's the one that lets your agent go phased.
The Sinister Scepter, yeah.
So, yeah, you combine that with the Hoarfrost Mace, and it was like, yeah, you can't touch this.
I used to have a team with Phoenix, believe it or not, Phoenix and Kitty Pryde, where as soon as Kitty would go into phased, Phoenix would mind link her so that she would take all the attacks and hit back, and it was a great team when it worked.
Yeah. So only, and of course they did nerf that. Only mm-hmm. one of the two was needed, in my opinion. Phoenix was much. He's talking about the double nerf. Either mm-hmm. you can't protect, or you can get hit by psychic and magic attack. Dude, I almost said physic and magic attacks. I totally did. Phoenix was much the same way. She was so strong simply because there were only very few heroes in the game that were available to new players at the time that had the brutal strike effect on their attacks. A lot of Spec Ops special uniforms and lockbox heroes had them, but very few base heroes or uniforms. Now, though, both effects exist with enough available heroes about that I think they could be brought back to their original state. Well, this would definitely mean a revert to the nerf to phased. Something like Phoenix passive could actually be reintroduced into the game a lot more elegantly with giving her an update to her EISO, seeing as her current one acts like an AISO, and we know Playdom has stated they wish to do this for all the characters with EISOs like that. This would also prevent Phoenix simply from going crazy like she had before, because now people are having to earn that 100% revival through her heroic battle instead of having it just for paying out 48 CP. Anyway, I let you get back to the show. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. And he says, P.S., because this is something that's going to go on the site here. P.S., mm-hmm. you don't have to read this on air if you don't want to, but I finished the first episode in that video series I'm starting on for MAA, going mm-hmm. over the buffs and debuffs in the game. Feel free to share among your viewers if you want. The link's here. That video will be embedded in the post for this email, along with this email, and it'll all be on From the Flight Deck there on the page later this week. I watched it. I thought he did very well. Cool. And it's very entertaining. He's very much a professor. He's very teaching. But what do you guys think about reverting the nerfs?
I'd love that. I thought phased was such a cool ability to base a strategy around. And the fact that, all right, so let's say they restore it partially with the nerfs to say, all right, you can still protect, but you are vulnerable to the things that phased is currently vulnerable to, which is a lot more than it used to be, right?
Yeah,
you can
yes.
get Soulfire, ethereal strike, psychic attack, psychic energy attack, magic type abilities, subtle attacks. Like,
basically,
there's a lot of things
that's not a punch you can get.
Right, right. So that's why I think that phased could be brought back as a more viable ability in the game. Voodoo has it. Vision has it. Of course, Kitty Pryde I mentioned earlier. Moonstone. I don't know. I think it's. I think it'd be really cool to bring it back.
Yeah, I agree. And then there's a ton of weapons that give you phased as well for the hero or for the team. So, vision, there's an email that didn't make it calling Polishing the Turd. It's talking about us ranting on Vision. And it was by, I'll go ahead and tell you who wrote it, because it is going to be on the flight deck. It was by, oh, it's the very next one. We just didn't get to it. Agent Bradell, who apparently really likes Vision. He's defending Vision in the setup. And actually, he's got a really well-written email. So check that out on From the Flight Deck on the Helicarrier, because he's got some great points to make there.
By the way, King says that he actually proved that phased can work. He did a video against the top-tier, all level 14 Adamantium agents that he won 9 out of 10 attacks with Vision and Kitty.
Hmm.
So there you go.
So all right. And with that, you can find the rest of these emails, again, on thehelicarrier.com. It's under the section from the flight deck. And if you want, subscribe to the newsletter. You'll get it delivered to your inbox every Saturday afternoon in one nice, compact email.
Cool.
So I do have a quick tip of the week. It is what I promised earlier about stop breathing clots.
What?
Holy cow. I hear the wind start
coming through. So, oh, now he just muted his mic and walked away. I'm sorry, Klotz, yeah, we're nothing without you.
No, I'm here. I did was adjust the boom.
Come back.
On my mic.
It's all about the boom. All right, so there are many, many, many groups out there, and I got to tell you, the ones that appeal to me are the ones who are nice to me, to be honest, and the ones who are smaller, and this one fits the bill both ways. Marvel Avengers Alliance Players Unite, with an exclamation point. I believe all four of us here, the King included, are members of that group. I'll tell you, I'm not very active in any groups because I'm super busy. And
just got the time, yeah.
Last week I checked it. Timmy, who does the promotion for us before and after the show, his computer was out of whack. So I went ahead and said, all right, you know, I'll handle this. I'm in like 50 groups, you know, because you just can be added without your consent, which is fine. I don't mind being in your group. It's plenty fine. But I just, yeah, who has the time? But yeah, find the group that works best for you. Again, Kaiser Allen is one of our good friends, and he runs a number of good groups. The 300, This is Sparta, I think, is one of his, and of course the original Marvel Avengers Alliance group was his. So definitely find one that fits for you. And the plug today is Marvel Avengers Alliance Players Unite, and it's a smaller group. They're more civil right now, so hopefully it'll stay that way.
Right,
because it is right. The bigger it gets, the more uncivil it is.
You get trolls in there. You get people who are really just interested in spamming the group. Yeah. So yeah, no, totally true.
So, all right. Anybody else got any tips of the week? Anything you want to throw out?
Tomorrow's game day. It's basically, you know, we haven't hit the 24-hour countdown. I imagine we will in about an hour and a half as we get to 5 p.m. or 7 p.m. Mountain time. But good luck. You know, again, this is pre-VP, so there's nothing that you can get as part of this that you can't get otherwise. It's not like, you know, a weapon that you're only ever going to be able to get via PvP or a character that you'll have to pay 200 CP for. So have fun with it, enjoy it, and don't go crazy.
Or go crazy
if that's what you think. Yeah. Yeah, right, exactly. But don't let it stress you out, I guess is what I'm saying.
Agreed.
Yes, so, and enjoy Spec Ops. It'll drop on Friday with Beta Ray Bill.
All right, folks. With that being said, you can find more of Agent Ibbitt over at Coverville.com.
Yes, you can. Show tomorrow, and I'm not exactly sure what it's going to be. I think it's time for one I've been planning for a while. There weren't any really good birthdays, so I think it's going to be an all hair metal cover.
Yes!
Of the show. So,
sorry, I don't care.
A little excited about that, are you?
No, no, it's
yeah,
fine.
So,
it's,
yeah, whatever. So stick around for that. That'll be at Coverville tomorrow, 2 p.m. Mountain Time. Live streamed right here on Twitch.
Dude, you can, just hit my wheelhouse. Sorry.
Oh, good. Well, if you've got some suggestions, then throw them my way. You can find more of Agent McFall, Agent Yes McFall, at facebook.com/House of the Bear.
I love cover songs, so it's why I'm a big fan of your show. And I love hair metal. And, I mean, sure. You just put the two together. It's better than peanut butter and chocolate. I'm just saying. It's nice. I'm very excited about that. It's going to be awesome. You know, over at houseofthebear.com, you can see my new family members. I have 5 new bobbleheads that I bought directly from Funko. They released the Firefly series, the first part of it, because there are at least 3 characters missing. But those came in today. I'm very excited about that. Took a picture over there. And I was promoting, if you follow me on House of the Bear, you'll follow everything I'm doing. You know, the helicarrier, all the progress on the new shows. Because we do have progress, even though it's fallen a little bit behind because other things have taken precedence. We are working on panel by panel with Uncle George and myself. That's coming up. I know Paul's working on with the Kingfisher. Paul's working on tabletop gaming show. Things are coming up. You can find updates there, including we just launched the official Ermagerd. It's a mashup podcast with my wife and myself, and posted it there. So you can find that through Facebook. and we're everywhere. It's a mashuppodcast.com. You can check it out there. Free plug time right now. Plug party. Find more of Agent Klotz at thehelicarrier.com, where I do look forward to the articles that he's got rolling around. I mean, I got to tell you, we talk off the air, and the ideas that he's got coming forth, once the timing's right and everything syncs with his schedule, you guys are going to get blown away by some of the stuff that's coming out. It's going to be awesome. Check out thehelicarrier.com for strategy and news articles, as well as the entire podcasting archive. Music is provided by The Beginning at Last, new album coming out February 24th. I think it is, and we'll be featuring at some point in some of the shows, at least on our Facebook page, we'll be playing the music for you. Beginning at Last, one of my favorite bands out there, especially since they give us the opening and closing song every week. Email us from thehelicarrier@gmail.com. Rate us on iTunes. Twitter is FTHelicarrier. And always remember, help us build a better community and influence the growth of the game. Join our Patreon today. It's patreon.com/fromthehelicarrier.
And with that...